Morning, everyone. Thanks for weathering the weather. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you have silence or now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. If you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll get started here with County's Casual Tuesday. Next up on our agenda is a discussion of possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, February the 5th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve, Commissioner Carmona.
I make a motion to approve the agenda for February 5th, 2019.
And I'll second your motion. Move and second to approve the agenda for today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 5, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for December the 4th, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of that meeting? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 4th, 2018 meeting.
I'll second your motion. Move to second to approve those minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Aye.
Great. Moving along now to item number 6, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for December the 18th of 2018. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the December 18th, 2018 meeting.
And I'll second your motion. Move and second to approve the minutes for December the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 7, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for January the 7th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for January 7, 2019.
And I'll second your motion and move to second to approve the minutes for January the 7th, 2019. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 8. That is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, once again, if I get a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda for the February 5th meeting.
And I'll second your motion. Move to second that to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right. Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Moving along now to item number 9, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And see, today we have the Mendoza in the audience. Are you representing the sheriff's office today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything to report for us today, John?
We don't have other than the inclement weather is keeping us busy and calls for service. But other than that, we don't have anything to
report. And just for future reference, anybody's going to testify today, if you come to the podium, so that we can make sure that our staff can go ahead and get everything to transcribe into the minutes. Okay.
We're good now. I'll work with you.
Okay.
Thanks. All righty. Why don't we move along now to the VCTC director, Dave Johnson.
Morning, Mr. Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Mr. Gellin, means you're here. I'm going to pass your vitamin C shot over to County Manager Whitney. Good morning, gentlemen. Denny Batson, Rich State Tourism Commission. Those oranges I've hand-picked myself from our family farm on Saturday and missed a hurricane, of course, but we've had those trees in our family for a long time, probably over 50 years. So kind of fun to bring some back and share. Anyway, as an update for the VCTC is we just turned in an RFP proposal for a large conference. We're doing a site visit tomorrow. And we'll probably know by the end of this week whether we get this conference. One that we did land was the UNR mining competition. And that's come along nicely. The hotel blocks in BC are completely full. All the hotels have been booked for the week after the Oyster Cry, which is awesome for that time of year. But with that, you and our team has been doing an amazing job with donations to bring to this event. Namely, Tiger Rock Products is looking to bring up several triples of decomposed granite, if you will, to help with the potential mud in the driveway on the for the event. So as soon as it clears up down there, they've got a bunch of rock up to, I think it's up to 100 cubic yards that they'll bring in and spread out on the perimeter driveway. So real nice of them to do that. But there's a lot of donations and a lot of buzz on that event. So I'm looking forward to that. Coming up the next couple of weeks, we have the Devil Made Me Do It Saloon Crawl. Numbers are great there. And then which is even more exciting is the Father-Daughter Day and Dance towards the end of February here. We added two shows. There are two dances at Piper's because of the turnout, and we are looking to maximize that as well. So the tickets are flying. People are excited about that event. So with that, we're just working hard on budget, and I hope to present those numbers in the next month or two to you guys.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed. Do you have any questions for Denny?
No, thank you.
Last, do you have any questions for Denny? Okay, next up we'll have our... from Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, for the record. I'm happy to report that the emergency generator project at the high school has been completed. They're online. They did all the testing, so that is fully functioning. This project was funded through State Division of Emergency Management Hazard Mitigation Program, so we're working to get some invoices closed out and closing that grant out, but that's good news. We will have a site if we ever need to use it for emergency evacuations that will be able to support us. Starting this month and going through April, we have some senior services focus groups meetings scheduled throughout the county. We're doing some of those in conjunction with the Planning Commission, and we're doing one out in the Highlands in conjunction with the Property Owners Association. So the first one will be held on February 21st from 5 to 6 in Lockwood at the Community Center. The second one is going to be March 12th from 6 to 7 at the Highlands Fire Station before the Property Owners Meeting. The third one will be March 21st from 5 to 6 at the Mark Twain Community Center with the Planning Commission just right before their meeting. And then the last one will be held here in Virginia City on April 4th from 5 to 6 at the Senior Center. So we're looking forward to those to hear what folks have to say about what they'd like to see with senior services, the programs that we currently offer. So I'd encourage everyone to attend. We'll be sharing that information on the socials here in the next month or so. So that's all I have for today.
Okay. Any questions?
What was the time for the BC one at the Senior Center?
5 to 6.
Five
Planning
to six.
Commission is planning to hold their meeting there at, starting at 6 p.m., so
okay.
We'll take up the hour before that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good. Great. Thank you, Sherry. All right. We have our operations and project manager, Mike Northam.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam for Public Works, for the record. On the crew side of things, we're obviously getting it handed to them the last couple of days with the weather, doing a great job keeping the roads clear, in addition to everything else that comes about. And we'd like to point out that this is the fruits of their labors in maintaining a high state of readiness. You know, if it's not snowing and they're not clearing roads, then they're fixing chains or keeping these pieces of equipment oiled, fueled, and ready to rock and roll. So I'm pleased to report they're in progress and moving right along, no breakdowns or any of that. On the project side of things, just a quick update on a couple projects we're working on. First off is Piper's Opera House, the director's office. The plan there is to provide about 150 square foot area for the director over there. Currently she's working out of the third floor, and it's difficult. She's making numerous trips up and down the stairs as people enter and exit the building. So we're looking at the carriage house area to provide a just an office space in there. I do have plans put together. I have a cost estimate. These are going to go to Mr. Dotson for his approval, and then on up the chain get approval through this process. Concluding that, we're going to send that off to SHPO for their approval, and then, of course, into community development for a permit. We plan on using Story County forces to complete that work. Sharon House stairs. This is an effort to put back or replace the exterior stairs that were existing at one point on the south edge of Taylor Street between C and B Streets. I just got all those documents piled up today, so I'll be working on that. So that'll be something I'll be reporting on. The fairgrounds improvements. We do have a general improvement plan. We're about 90% complete with that right now. We're still looking at some options for power and water and how best to get those utilities on site and distributed. And I'll be working on an estimate. That'll be forthcoming at the next, probably the next meeting. We'll have a pretty good estimate on that. The Justice Center. The architect is currently working on it. He is working on a digital 3D model, which would be a nice digital rendering of the proposed development. Which is always a great idea. Digital 3D models are probably the most efficient way to communicate spatial relationships on site and really give people a picture of what this thing is going to look like and how it's going to function. So we're eagerly awaiting that, so that should be forthcoming. And hopefully everybody get a chance to look at that. On the 6 Mile Canyon Drainage Capital Improvement Project, we did secure a necessary easement. We've got documents in the works now that are going to go to the owner. He's going to allow us to use a portion of his property as a part of that project. This will dramatically reduce costs associated with that particular portion of the project. I'm happy to go deeper into that if you like. We are going to have a meeting next week with the engineer from Far West just to keep the project current, look at next steps, and see if we can work at cutting costs further if possible. Last item is the Piper's Opera House windows, putting the original windows back in. All of the original sashes that we could find have been restored, and they're ready to go back in. Three of the sashes, well, one of them disappeared, and the guy who's doing this is Central Sierra Construction, had to rebuild that to match the others. Two more were found to not be original. One's a pretty good reproduction. The other one's terrible, so we're having that one reproduced. He's still in progress, or in the process of creating those sashes. So when he's done, which I anticipate here fairly quickly, we've already got the permit pulled. He'll be able to get those installed, hopefully during the dead time right now, when we can make a mess and have that all put back together. And that's all I have for you, gentlemen.
Okay. Good question.
Do you guys assume you can start the drainage project in the springtime for Mark Twain?
We have no start date for that right now. We're doing is putting together the sum total. I mean, there's 100 options we could do, and so we're trying to thread our way through. If we do this option, then that means we can choose from these options, and so we're trying to pick the best path to get where we want to go, which is effectively a 25-year level event rating for that drainage system. We're currently at a 10-year level event, and about every 10 years it takes out some portion of the roadway. So this is clearly necessary, but at this point we don't have a target start date.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Mike. All right. The fire department, Chief Nevin.
Good morning. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just a couple items. First of all, I'll send you this report, but for the month of January, we have responded to 175 calls for service. 129 of those are EMS related, which brings me, actually, I'll back up a little bit, puts us about on course for the last 2 years of incidents that we responded to. Last year was 2,212, and the year before that was 2,216. So we're right in that ballpark if those numbers stay the same. And speaking of the EMS calls, we have taken delivery of 9 brand new Zoll X series defibrillators. These replace the units that we're currently using that are 2006 vintage year. So technology has increased dramatically, and we're catching up, so these should last us for a few more years. So, next week, the crews will receive training on that, and we'll place them in service after everybody's been trained on the use of those. Something interesting with those, it's called an auto pulse. It actually assists in providing very good quality CPR without human interaction besides placing the device on. Once it gets placed, you hook it to the machine and it delivers the CPR and it frees up the guys in the back to do other tasks. So, cost saving, or not a cost savings, but it helps with our manpower being limited as it is. Our fuels grant continues. We're going to be changing that up a little bit where we've been working in Bailey's Canyon there. We're going to finish up that burning, the piles that have been generated in there. And then we're going to move into the highlands along the easements with NDOT to clean up some of the side of the road there, remove some of the dead trees, things like that, create that fire break. We're going to send out letters to the homeowners, and we're going to make sure that we're at the homeowners association meetings to answer any questions that there may be. So we'll do our due diligence before that project begins. Open burning is continuing in the Mark Twain Painted Rock area. If anybody's still looking for a permit, they can call the fire station in Virginia City and get that permit. And then our fuels trailers, up until about last week, we're still busy. So they're available. If anybody wants one of those, they can give us a call, 847-0954. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
You think? Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. All right. Next up, we have our Director of IT, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. We'll start off with we've spent about 75% of our CapEx expenditures for the year, and included in that, we've replaced all of our major firewalls for the fiber, both at the courthouse and the jail. So we're using Palo Alto Next Generation 820 firewalls at the recommendation of that security audit that we had earlier in the year. We've also deployed our HP Enterprise Nimble storage devices. Pretty expensive pieces of gear, but we've got one here and one at the data center down at the jail. We expect to consolidate 8 storage arrays down into 4 with those purchases, and we expect that storage array to last us for the next 5 years. The last major expense that we've implemented is the HP Enterprise switching. We have 10 gigabit switching down in our data center, both at the jail and here in the courthouse now. Those switches are expected to have a service life of about 10 years. So with those major purchases, we expect to actually reduce our budget significantly next year. We're in pretty good shape there. Following up on Pipers and the cottage, we've seen some rapid progress with the wiring that's going on over there. The routers are programmed and ready to deploy, so as soon as the electrical company's done, we'll light that building up almost immediately. That building is pretty much going to be wired for bare when it's done. It'll be very future-ready. Whatever offices go in there now and in the future, it'll be very flexible. Whether we put a million computers in there or just one or whatever, that building will last quite a long time. The wiring that we are putting there is allowing us to leverage the phone system and the internet connection in this courthouse building, so we're not going to have to pay for a new phone system over there or for Piper's Opera House. They'll be part of this building's network, so we're going to be able to leverage some existing infrastructure. Some updates on the Tyler program. I want to mention it's been rough for a lot of staff, but the ENCODE portion, there's a lot of success that people are not seeing, and that's that we don't have calls saying my Tyler is, you know, not working as far as, you know, I can't do my job. It's always my scanner's not working, my computer's not working. We haven't had to, you know, stop everything and involve Tyler in any major technical processes. There's been growing pains and certainly, you know, implementation issues like that, but from a technical standpoint, the Tyler rollout has been an amazing success, so congratulations, controllers, on that. Another measurement of success with Tyler is the Eagle Recorder system. I don't have any technical support calls from Jen Chapman's office at all. So what that tells me is that the Eagle Recorder product is pretty solid. So again, don't hear much about that, but that Eagle Recorder software has been a smashing success. And again, I measure that by the fact that I'm never working on it. It's working, so happy to report on that. So with those elements that I've discussed, the county is really well positioned for the future. We're using cutting-edge switching technology. We're using VMware. We have our own data centers. We're ready for the next Tyler module or whatever the department heads choose to implement as far as technology. So with that, I wanted to thank Pat for his vision and his investment in the the technology that this county is using. It's what's really allowed us to handle the growth that we've seen over the last 10 years. And it's pretty impressive to see the way that many of the department heads are leveraging the technology to increase efficiencies and make their departments work better for the public. So with that, that's all I have, unless you have any questions, commissioners.
Go ahead.
J.D., can we lift up the tent flap a little bit? We had a failure on our Outlook servers that I think you made you and I both aware of, that it's probably running out of Band-Aids to stick on it. So is that going to be a July 1 type?
Yes. We plan on replacing our Exchange server, which is vintage 2010. We bought that in 2010 and have been using it for 9 years for computer software. That's unheard of. So the return on investment has been great. However, it's limited us in other ways, particularly like departments like community development or the sheriff's office that are dealing with large attachments, or now their video body cams and things like that. We can't send large attachments. You know, we have problems sharing. So this coming budget year, I'm going to ask that the county goes countywide to Office 365. That's a web-based Exchange platform that, you know, again, lives in the cloud, does everything that our current system does, but allows us to have a much larger storage space. Currently, our users are limited to 2 gigabyte inboxes. That's been very difficult to manage over the last 10 years, and very expensive for the storage back end of that. But moving to Office 365, we're going to really open up the floodgates as far as licensing goes. Users will have 5 licenses, so they'll be able to have it on their work machine, their laptop, their tablet. They can even take it home and put it on their home computer if the county chooses to allow that. The collaboration abilities are going to go through the roof as we start using things like SharePoint, more internal website stuff where we can really start collaborating on projects without really leaving our desk. And again, with the Active Directory rollout that we've done in the last year, any Active Directory technology can now be deployed by any department. You know, Exchange and going to the cloud is just one advantage, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of opportunities and availabilities that going to the cloud is going to offer us. Austin Osborne has suggested partnering with Switch, maybe even lighting up a data center there to complement the one here and at the jail as a either off-site backup or, you know, maybe even at some point our primary storage area. So did that speak to that enough? Okay. Any other questions?
Anything? Great. Thanks, James.
All right. Our water projects coordinator, Mike Nevin.
Ann Langer would want me to do that.
I see the timers here on the front end, so I guess I've got as much time as I need today. Thank you, Ann. A little update on the Gold Hill Septic project. Pat's got the timer running for me. Thank you, sir. We had a field trip down there on the 21st of January with the NDEP staff, and they elected to bring most of the entire office with them. We had 8 representatives from NDEP accompany myself and Jason on an afternoon field trip, and that day it was snowing, raining pretty good, decently. We didn't see any outflow from the Gold Canyon Creek even reach Devil's Gate. But we went all the way through the canyon, down into Dayton to take a look-see. There's a little bit of confusion on their part about where the outflow, if it even reaches the Carson River, and we're pretty confident that it does not. So just the other day, day before yesterday, we did hear back from them. They would like schedule a follow-up meeting with us, so we're looking at scheduling that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully. They have some thoughts and ideas that probably will be beneficial to the overall project, we hope. Stay tuned, and I'll keep you updated as we progress there. Last week, we staff met with USDA office in Carson City, now that the government, the federal government, is back open, to see about the possibility, of course, of utilizing the additional $555,000 left over from contingency on the water line and put it towards this tank project. I don't know that you're aware, but NDP, on their last sanitary survey, issued a notice about the condition of those water tanks, and we knew one had been going bad for years, but it's to a point now where basically the superstructure that holds that tank together is laying on the floor of the tank, so we're trying to move rather quickly. It's anticipated that the engineer will have some cost figures available to us, hopefully by the end of the week. USDA is all for being able to utilize those funds and maybe some additional, because they want to see a completed project, naturally. And that's our goal, too, you know, at the end of that. So, like I say, we're supposed to have that cost estimate from the engineer's office this week sometime. So as we get that, then we'll hopefully schedule another meeting with those folks just to see, you know, which road we're going to take as far as accomplishing those tank. Either one will have to be new, and the possibility of rehabbing one of the existing tanks that are on the site up there. So we're looking at all our options. And that's pretty much it for now.
Pretty good.
Unless you guys have a question.
Any questions, Mike?
Nothing.
Thanks, Mike.
Stay dry.
Might be a record.
All right. Representing the community development, Peter Renaud.
Good morning. Pete Renaud for the record. The dashboard report's not prepared right now, but I can say the building has 78 inspections for the month of January. I don't know nuisance-wise and how many permits have been issued. On a second note, which is probably good news for the people of the Highlands, is yesterday I did a completion of the cell tower. So the installer met me. Everything's up and running. AT&T had some bugs to work out. Everything seemed to be working while I was there. I don't know if it works because I have Verizon on my county phone, so anybody else that might be around might know if it's working out there in the Highlands. That's all I've got for today.
Okay. I know they're all excited about getting some self-service out there finally.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It took them. They had some weather issues. They had to get a 135-foot boom up there. And when the wind's over 30 miles an hour, they can't get in the booms.
Right.
So they worked hard during that break we had between storms and knocked it out. Left a nice, clean job site. I was really impressed with the installer. So.
Great. All right. Thanks, Peter.
You bet.
All right. Over our planning department, Kathy Canfield. Thank you, Kathy. From the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Director of Planning and HR, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne. Two items, or actually three items. The first one is an update from our lobbyist supporter group in Washington. Dan Maurer and Stephanie Walker are meeting with the BLM, Department of Interior in Washington today, to make sure that there's no more surprises or bugs in the lands bill that's moving forward. In the Senate, the omnibus lands is moving forward with the leadership of Leader McConnell in the Senate. And that was filed last week. There's expected to be a vote on that this week or possibly today. So there is progress moving forward, and we are also working on an NHPA, National Historic Preservation Act language that I talked to you about earlier. So far, so good. down in Mark Twain, the Dayton Valley Area Master Plan. It's about 80% complete in the studies. There's animated models and that sort of thing that are still preliminary, that still need to be validated, but you can see the types of flooding and sheet flows that exist in our Mark Twain community. It's very fortunate to see that we expected some pretty substantial issues in that area. And what the modeling is showing is there actually is probably a pretty reasonable expectation we'll be able to do a lot of flood mitigation projects in that area in the coming years. There's a couple complex and expensive items that need to be put in, but nothing to the level we were expecting. So that's very good news for the Mark Twain community. And then last but not least, in the Highlands, the USGS is continuing their underground water study, and we are working with them on a, I believe it is the last February Planning Commission or the March Planning Commission, for them to give an update to the Highlands community on the next quarter of that underground study. I will definitely let you know when we plan that, or my staff will, and then we'll work with you, Jay, out there in your community to make sure folks out there know about that. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Austin? No? That's great. Yeah. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
All right. On the line, we've got the Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis. Do you have anything today, Keith?
Keith, are you with us?
Yes, sorry, I didn't want to mute. Yeah. I had a couple things, but they're not pressing, so I'm going to wait till the next meeting.
All right, great. Thanks, Keith. All righty. County Manager, Pat Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By approval of the consent agenda, I just want to make note that that also canceled the March 5th meeting. The purpose of that, as was indicated on both the agenda and in your packet, is two commissioners, Chairman McBride and Vice Chairman Gilman, will be attending the annual National Association of Counties Legislative Conference in Washington, D.C. And actually, I believe on the 5th, that's the last scheduled day of the conference. On the 6th, as I recall the schedule, then we will make Capitol Hill visits. Vice Chairman Gilman and I have talked about dividing and conquering. The Nevada NACO contingency typically does group meetings for all of Nevada, and Vice Chairman Gilman has agreed to attend those as the county's NACO rep. And thank you, Lance, for really rearranging your entire schedule to kind of pick up that surprise meeting down in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago. That I'm hearing great news and thanks from Dagny. And then, so we'll be, the two commissioners will be there as well as myself. That's that. I know sometimes we get accused, I think wrongfully so, and in a crappy kind of way, pardon my French, but, you know, patting ourselves on the back, doing a fluff show, but I want Mike Northern to take back to the entire crew what a bang-up job you guys are doing these last couple of days. If I get an email that reads as follows, and I'm going to ask for a permissive nod from a department head that takes the time to tell me, excuse me for just a moment, out of a busy schedule, good morning, Jason. I want to tell you what a joy it was pulling into a fully plowed driveway and parking lot at St. Mary's Arts Center this morning. All of the town looks great, actually, but my staff and I appreciate you and yours and all the hard work over the last 24 hours. I will tell you, for those that think all we do is talk nice about each other, we don't. I will also tell you that, again, this crew was up and at it even earlier. And for those of you that were able to park in the parking lot today, you almost couldn't yesterday. So because we needed to get to primary roads here, our part of the Highlands, 6 Mile, so hats off to the entire Public Works crew. It's a lot of work. A couple of things I'm working on what I guess I'll call my bucket list, and I hope it's not a kick to the bucket list, but there are a couple of things that are on my radar screen to finish up.
One, first and foremost, is Comptroller Gallagher, Chief Deputy District Attorney Loomis, and myself have been in frequent dialogues, actually weekly dialogues recently, with Bob Sater of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You know, we've known and worked on this off and on and off and off for about the past 2 to 3 years, Hugh. And the bottom line, just so no one's surprised, is, you know, all along, clear back in 1999 and 2000, when we entered into our developer agreements and capital improvement plans with the industrial park, is the whole idea was they would build it and we would pay them back. But we've had a difficult time, literally, in those 20 years of finding firm payment sources. You should be paying them on sales tax, but it's difficult to determine how much sales tax comes from TRI and how much comes from everywhere else. So we've been talking in earnest. I think we're making good progress. There's a ways to go, but that is something I want done before I walk out the door, subject to commission approval, of course. And the other one is, with the sheriff's encouragement, I've connected with Bob Morris. Obviously, we get periodic confusion and, in some cases, disagreements, mostly caused because of either ambiguities in the brothel ordinance or just things that need to be clarified. We're not talking about a radical rewrite, at least as far as I can tell. We're just trying to clear up, you know, a couple of reoccurring problems. The sheriff and I have been talking. Bob Morris and I are obviously engaged, so I'd like to get that done to everybody's agreement, including, obviously, Donna Gilman and the brothel, before I leave. So those are two of my key projects, along with one that we'll address here shortly under the Mike Workman contract. That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. All right. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens? Nothing today? Okay. That concludes our committee and staff reports. So at this time, we'll move on to item number 10. And these are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments today?
Just a quick comment. Pat, with the fact that I went down and joined Mako in Las Vegas, and that was a very rewarding visit. Got to meet with all the folks there from the various counties. Kind of get started in this project. I was assigned to the Legislative Council and Committee, and so I'll be calling in every Friday at 3 o'clock, and we'll be going through all the bill drafts and how they may or may not impact our various counties, and I'm looking forward to this. It's a very, very capable, professional group of people, and our eyes are on legislation that's going to affect us both state and federally, and it's well worth the effort, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Terrific. Great. Thanks, Lance, and thanks for taking on that committee role.
You bet.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona.
Nothing today, Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Jay. And I, too, have nothing today. So with that, we'll go ahead and we'll move on to item number 11, which is discussion of possible action. Approval of Resolution 19-524, approving notice of completion and acceptance of the 5-mile waterline replacement project. Sherry Nevin, you have the floor.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record again. This item, resolution number 19-524, is approving notice of completion and acceptance of the 5-mile waterline project. This was originally scheduled for January 15th, but since we canceled that meeting, I did update both the resolution and the notice of completion form. Vanessa has those updated documents with today's date. So basically, this just closes out substantial completion on that waterline project. As Mike mentioned, we do have some remaining money in contingency, but we're hopeful we'll be able to move forward with getting that done. So this is one step in the process to get the project closed out. So we were hoping to close the permanent loan on this project in February. That's probably not going to happen with the government shutdown and our need to continue working on those water tanks. So.
Right. Of course, this, once again, it is a phenomenal project. You know, keep improving our public works projects in the county. Okay, so at this time, Jay, I'll ask you to go ahead and read the motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve Resolution 19-524, notice of completion and acceptance of the 5 mile waterline replacement project.
I have a motion. I'll second it. And then before we go on to a vote, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this resolution. Mike?
Just to make mention, I know it's addressed in the letter from the engineer's office, but there are a couple of items that are outstanding, and so long as those two items are completed within the warranty period, we're good with USDA. They happen to be the completion of the fencing. It's probably 50%. We were hoping that they would have got out there last week, but it didn't happen. And, of course, with this storm, we're probably, you know, into the spring sometime. And the other one is the reseeding by the contractor for that portion of the traveled way between what we refer to as the sheep troughs, about 2.5 miles out over, and then cross-country back up to the 5 mile water tank. So those are the two that remain.
Who's driving your infinity?
I don't know why. I think primarily Jose.
Hey, Lance, your other conversation on your other phone is coming through here.
I caught it. Just mute on and off, you know. This is my first. I'll get it better in a minute.
We'll leave it on for a second. We'll go ahead and vote. Was there any other public comment on this resolution? Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Great. Thanks, Lance. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion of possible action approval of National Radon Month, National Radon Action Month proclamation.
Yep. Sherry Nevin again for the record. This item was originally scheduled for January 7th, but I believe we had snow that day and the folks from UNR didn't want to make the trek up the hill. So I had asked them to join us today and they have another presentation that they were previously committed to. So I'm going to go ahead and present this today. This is an annual proclamation that we do every January, declaring it as National Radon Action Month here in Story County. We join most all other counties in the state of Nevada in doing the same. UNR Cooperative Extension, this is one of their projects, so they asked me to share a few items with you. The Nevada Radon Education Program thanks you for the opportunity to present information about radon and for the National Action Month proclamation. This proclamation and your support of our service to this area is especially important for all that the proclamation stated. Because testing is the only way to know if a home has a radon problem, and since January was Radon Action Month, the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension is again offering free test kits statewide. Those will be available through the end of February. After that, you can still get a kit, but they do cost $10. Locally, folks can get radon test kits at both the Virginia City Senior Center and the Lockwood Community Center. You can also go to Carson City to the Cooperative Extension office. They have those available. Testing is especially important in Story County, where 27% of the homes tested had radon concentrations at or over the EPA action level. They go on to state that every home needs to be tested for radon, so please pass the word about the free kits and upcoming programs. For more information, they have a great website that you can visit, and that's www.radonnv.com. That is what they have. I don't know if you'd like me to go ahead and read the proclamation, or if you just want to go.
I think my understanding is you just need to read the title.
Yep. So this is a proclamation declaring January 2019 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this proclamation? We can get a motion to approve.
Jay Carmona, make a motion to approve or to proclaim January 2019 as National Radon Action Month in Story County.
I'll second your motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Lance will second that. All right. So it's been moved.
I second.
Very good. It's been moved to second it to proclaim January 2019 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries unanimously. At this time, we're going to move on to item number 13. This is a public hearing designated to be at 10:30, and the time is 10:47. And we're going to hold a public hearing to consider public comments on proposed lease of the portion of the Piper's Opera House known as the Old Corner Bar to VC Ponderosa Saloon LLC for a monthly rental amount of $1,800 until December the 31st, 2021, with a two-year renewal term. So at this time, we're open to any public comments regarding this lease agreement between Story County and the Old Corner Bar. So any public comment?
I guess I'll chime in now. I have rented, I have been a landlord on rental properties before. I will tell you that the current renters, lessees, are model tenants, in my opinion. I had the great opportunity to sit down without actually having a drink with them early one morning, and we walked through everything. And I'm really impressed with what they've done and how they draw people up here to B Street, which then helps Piper's Opera House on tours, helps the Slammer Museum, you know, as well when it's open. So I think they play a pivotal role and are one of the very few, I think, businesses off C Street, or at least businesses on B Street, that have added a lot and have done a great job. I also took it another step, and without disclosing who, I went to a bar tenant and asked on a per square foot basis what amount they were paying. And I guaranteed keeping that confidential, and they trusted me. And I will tell you that this rent is fair and reasonable, in my opinion. It has not changed. Most of the terms of this were just carried over from the lease that the tenants had with the school district. But when the day's done, we added a few things in there, such as specifying an amount of liability insurance that needed to be carried by the Bill and Tammy. And also, I think we put a late fee in, which is, you know, just normal paperwork business. This payment has been made, I think, on its due date every time, you know, since we took over the lease. So Tammy is here. If there are any questions, but staff recommends renewing this when we get to item number 14 for reasons I just stated.
Thanks, Pat. All right. So once again, I'll ask if there's any other public comments regarding this public hearing. Nothing else, then we'll go ahead and we'll move on to item number 14, which is discussion of possible action, consideration of possible action to approve the lease of the Old Quarter Bar to the VC Ponderosa Saloon LLC for a monthly rental of $1,800 per month until December the 31st, 2021, with the possible two-year renewal. So once again, on this item, I'll ask, is there any public comment regarding this lease agreement? Okay, hearing none. I'm pretty familiar with rents in Virginia City and having to do with drinking establishments. I think it's fair and reasonable for both parties, for the county and for the lessees on this. So,
do you want to disclose or not?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait, no. This isn't a licensing agreement. This isn't a business license, so.
But it's a contractual obligation.
I'd
suggest just the same disclosure you always do.
Yeah. Okay, Lance, you might want to chime in on this too. Is it has been recommended by the county manager that I also disclose that I have a drinking establishment in proximity to this establishment, and by my voting to approve this lease agreement affects their business in no other way, in no different manner than it would anyone else who would come before the county for the same type of licensing.
Yeah, Marshall, thank you, and I'll make the same disclosure. I also have a business on C Street with a liquor license, and my voting on this should have no impact on the business in the community. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Lance. All right.
You bet.
You have any comments?
No, sir.
Okay, I'll open up one more time if there's any other public comment regarding this item. Hearing enough, I'm going to get a motion to approve this lease agreement.
Jay Carmona, move to approve the proposed lease between Story County and VC Ponderosa Saloon, LLC.
Okay, I have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. It's been moved to a second to approve this lease agreement with Old Quarter Bar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving along now to item number 15. Discussion of possible action of contract for professional services between Michael Workman and Story County regarding due diligence review of the TRIGID changing governance and authorize the county manager to sign evidencing approval. So, Mr. Whitten.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Lance Gilman here. I'm going to move to recuse myself from discussions or voting on this particular item as I hold a pecuniary interest in the subject matter. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll also ask at any point in time if Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis can chime in as he wishes. I mentioned, I believe, during staff at the last meeting that legal counsel for TRIGID, Bob Sater, has asked through Keith and I initially if we would consider changing the governance structure of the General Improvement District Board of Trustees. I want to differentiate very carefully because it's already been thrown out there and mistakenly that the county's going to take over the GID, and that is not true. If you look at the fire district, the 474 fire district, that is not a county-run operation. It is an operation allowed and structured under one of two ways in NRS, that a board of trustees for this district or a board of commissioners for the fire district, excuse me, could be constituted. One is by a vote of the residents in that area, i.e. the entire county. Central Lyon Fire, I know, does that, and others. The other option is that the Board of County Commissioners can sit as the governing board. So same is true for general improvement districts. And getting and finding qualified voters in predominantly an industrial park has been problematic for a long time. There was enough discussion that it caught Mr. Loomis's and my attention enough that we sat down and thought about it, and we knew we needed to do a tremendous amount of due diligence. What this agenda item actually does is, in my opinion, provides a second set of eyes on the process. I mean, I couldn't tell you the first thing about sewer pipes or water services or anything. So what we looked at is, obviously, Brent Farr and Far West, and Brent is taking direct responsibility on this, but they're providing any and all due diligence that we are asking for, as is Bob Sater's office. So we're in the process of what I would call a due diligence period. We're not ready to come. We're nowhere near ready right now to come before the board and say, you know, we recommend that we change the governance or we don't recommend. We want you to know, as the governing board, what you might be inheriting as far as condition, as far as processing, as far as a capital improvement plan, those types of things. But that requires somebody to be able to give us that information and help us digest it as we form our recommendation to you. So since Brent Farr is both the GID's engineer and the county's engineer, and I will tell you for the record, you know, that I don't question Mr. Farr's integrity at all. In fact, when Tri-GID changed engineers, they asked what I thought of Brent Farr and Far West, and I gave a wholehearted recommendation. We have never not been pleased with the quality of the work, but we also need somebody independent that can look at it. So Mr. Loomis thought up a name that I immediately grabbed onto because I've worked with him, and that's retired water services director from Lyon County, Mike Workman. Mike has got a stellar reputation and does know this. The contract proposes to have him work for us, but we have also reached out to the GID through Mr. Sater, as you will note in the packet, and specifically asked if they would reimburse us for Mike's expenses, if the GID would, and that answer was yes, up to a maximum of $10,000, which neither Mike nor Brent think they'll go through. For full disclosure, this is one of those projects on my bucket list to finish up, if it gets finished one way or the other. So with legal concurrence, my limit on contracts is $5,000. So I did authorize Mike Workman to start on this project up to a maximum of $5,000. We were going to present this at the last meeting, and again, timing didn't happen right. It's my recommendation that we approve this contract. It's quality work, and it's also, I think, good governance in a check and balance kind of way. That's it.
Okay. You have anything? You want to chime in on this? Anything to say?
No.
No? Me neither. We'll open up for public comment. Anybody wishing to go ahead and speak today, if you'll limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
For the record, Sam Tolgold Hill on the shot clock. I'm encouraged that the county is proceeding in this direction. As you know, for over a year, I've suggested a similar tack. The GID, as we all know, is got two board members shy because, you know, nobody lives out there and you can't really elect a business entity. The concern that I have, and I think the county should as well, is the obligation that's that's met there. I've heard from tenants out at the park and read in county documents that some of the construction and some of the functionality of the sewer pipes and the roads are experiencing wear and tear, and having the eyes of the county on them, I think, is highly appropriate. Do we have any idea, and we've talked about this before, Mr. Loomis has insisted that the county has no liability financially for the GID, but should, the GID is now in getting another $150 million project with the pipeline. What is the financial relationship between the county and the GID in terms of liability?
Keith, you want to take a stab at that?
Sure. To the extent that I could hear Sam, there is no liability on the part of the county for the operations of the GID. The GID is a separate political entity. The proposal is to change the nature of the governance, not the county's obligations toward the GID, which there are none. And there is a process by which the operations of the GID can be reviewed. That doesn't obligate the county to take on any of the debt or the liabilities of the GID.
Good. So basically, they're an independent, financially independent entity, and if they overextend their capacity to pay, they're pretty much on their own, and the county has no skin in that game.
And Keith, I'll take that one, but again, chime in if you need to. That is absolutely correct.
Good.
They have taxing authority, so within the defined district, they could raise taxes if they needed to. They can also change their rates. They're basically, think of them just like the school board, except we have a different governance board. And you're going to find me over-sensitive to the use of the phrase,
that I think it's good that the county is taking this over, a different set of eyes. We're not. Right now, all staff's trying to do through you, through Keith, through myself, and through Mike Workman, actually, if this is approved, is really try to make a sound recommendation to the two commissioners that this is something and these are the facts to be known. It's just something I want to make darn sure we're always consistently clear on. The county's not taking over anything. We're just talking about taking these two gentlemen and having them become that governing board.
And so would, since Mr. Gilman has a pecuniary interest in the park, would he sit on that board as well?
I think that's a to be determined, to be honest with you. I couldn't answer that. I would think we need to let Keith and, you know, possibly his counsel answer that down the road. We're not here to make that decision
sure.
today. We're just here only to really approve Workman's contract so we can get enough intelligence to give recommendations.
Well, I'm very encouraged by this step and looking forward to looking at Mr. Workman's effort as well. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right. Ms. Martin.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. So just to be clear, what is the scope of the work that this gentleman will be doing? Will it be inspecting all of the physical assets and equipment, and what exactly is the due diligence going to entail?
I think that's a question, Nicole, that I don't know that I'm equipped to answer. Basically, his main role, I think, is to validate the accuracy of the information from Brent Barr. Brent will be making recommendations. Mike's job is to say, these are sound recommendations I agree with or I don't agree with, or we should do this. In addition to, we've talked about pothole testing in certain areas and those types of things. But right now, it's taking a look at the adequacy of, like, the capital improvement plan, those types of things. It's taking a look at the approvals previously obtained from NDEP. To run a water system. It's just a myriad of things that, again, quite honestly, I'm not in a position. But when we're done, we basically expect for $10,000 or less paid by TRI to say, here is the condition and the status of the general improvement district, and we expect Mike Workman to either endorse that, refute it, or do whatever.
So it's FAR that's going to be doing the physical inspections, the roads, the sewers.
Again, I can't answer to any real sense of certainty. FAR will probably be coordinating those. They could be done, potholing can't be done by FAR, probably would be done by FMP or Granite or somebody out there. But Workman will be out there occasionally to, you know, validate what's being seen, but you can take pictures, you can do all kinds of things, get analysis.
So this is going to be on the facility itself. It isn't going to be the roads and the sewers, which get built and then turned over to the county to maintain, right? Or are they separate? We have the roads, they've got sewers.
Did I hear you say roads and sewers?
Yeah.
No. Roads are totally separate. They're covered under our developer agreement.
We own those.
Yes, after they're built to our standards and go through an approval process, you know, of vouchering. Sewer has never been ours being the county.
Okay.
It's always been the GIDs and will continue to be the GIDs.
Okay, so it's physical plant plus the distribution mechanism, which are the sewers.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional public comment?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Keith, anything to chime in on what I've answered so far?
No, I think that was accurate.
Okay.
Sorry. Any additional public comment? Hearing none, if we can get a motion to approve this contract with Mr. Workman.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the contract for professional services between Michael Workman in Story County, and authorize the county manager to sign.
Second your motion.
I second.
Wait a minute. You weren't gonna vote on that, I think, Lance. I think you recused.
Oh, that's it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I withdraw. Okay. I apologize.
There you go. Thank you. All right. I'll second the motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve this contract with Mr. Workman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion of possible action. Review and possibly appoint Samuel K. Ward, real estate appraisers and consultants, to appraise the Crystal Bar, currently the visitor center, located at 86 South C Street in Virginia City. Mr. Dodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To bring you into context, bring you up to speed on why we're doing this, the VCTC purchased a corner lot, we call it Black and Howe, I believe, in 2013, maybe 2014, with the hopes of someday possibly building a new visitor center, one that would be a little more accommodating to our visitors, multiple bathrooms, more interpretive designs, a little more easier to handle a bigger crowds than we have now at the Crystal Ball, which is awesome. But when we don't, obviously, we do cherish that building. Now that we have the VCTC board, now we're kind of looking at building a new visitor center. It's become a reality with the recent demolition. We would like to appraise the Crystal Bar to see what it's worth to give us some options on whether we sell that property and or, lease it or whatnot. So we want to get that appraised. To do that, according to Deputy District Attorney Keith, we need to go through a process. And that process is lined out in NRS for a county to sell property. They have to have a pool of appraisers. We developed a list of authorized appraisers who were interested in doing property appraisals for the county here in Story County. And with that, we picked from that list, and Mr. Ward was picked first. So with that, he has submitted in your packet a list of qualifications as well as a proposal for his bid to do a appraisal on the Crystal Bar, i.e. the visitor center.
Thanks, Danny. I'm familiar with Mr. Ward. He's been around for quite a while. He's done several appraisals in Virginia City. So we're looking for appraisers. That's what you want, somebody who's got the experience, and knows the territory.
And actually, Mr. Chairman, as it turns out, I believe Mr. Ward appraised that building back when the VCTC first bought it from them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Jay?
No. I looked over. Seems like he's got a lot of good stuff on there.
Okay. Any public comment? Okay. No public comment. Sounds like we're in agreement here. We get a motion to approve this the appointment of Sam Ward as the appraiser.
Jay Carmona, make a motion to approve the appointment of Samuel K. Ward, real estate appraisers and consultants, to appraise the Crystal Bar, also known as the Visitor Center, located at 86 South C Street, Virginia City.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 17, discussion of possible action. This is for the appointment of Bill Lewis to serve on the Story County Board of Equalization for a term of 3 years. So Bill's currently on the Board of Equalization. And go ahead, and you've got the podium. So.
Yeah, we just missed listing him in the reappointments in January, so we added him now. Board of Equalization is scheduled for February 27th at 9. It looks like we're going to have one case, but I wanted to get him reappointed for that.
Okay. Any luck, it'll be negotiated out of there. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Any public comment regarding the appointment of Bill Lewis? And if I get a motion to approve?
Hi, Jay Carmona. Make a motion to approve or appoint Bill Lewis to serve on the Story County Board of Equalization.
I'll second the motion.
Moved and second to appoint Bill Lewis. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 18, discussion of possible action.
Approval of agreed upon procedures presented by Edie Bailey, certified public accounting firm pertaining to audit engagement with Tesla.
That was Eddie.
Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have done this before, and it was through a former employer of mine, Grant Thornton. This individual left Grant Thornton and went on to I. Bailey, and so these agreed-upon procedures are basically their what they're going to do as far as the audit. Now, as we know, this has to do with Tesla, and Tesla is in a tax-free zone. So essentially what happens is that Tesla or Panasonic or anybody in that tax-free area submits their sales tax reports with their check amount, and the state of Nevada sits there, takes their share, and then gives the rest back to us. And based upon audits from an independent certified public accounting firm, they periodically give us a audit report for which we do some procedures, agree to it, and then pay them back. So this is kind of a roundabout position there to do this, but that was the only way that the Department of Taxation would allow that. So these are procedures that I. Bailey is going to take in consideration for looking at certain sales tax returns, going back and looking at corrected returns and things of this nature. This also will give me in the future the ability to sign certain reports such as agreed upon procedures and things of this nature, because as I was told about a year ago from Mr. Loomis, I can't sign for anything. So at least at this point in time, I can do that and not bring this before the board again. So this additionally just is a something that we need to do for them to start their audit for this year. Mr. Chair.
I think we're going to have a separate agenda to item to address the authority of the comptroller to sign these agreed upon procedures in the future. This item is purely for the approval of the existing agreed upon procedures. And so what I'm proposing is I'll put together a resolution authorizing you to sign these things in the future, but it'll have to be in the next meeting.
That's fine with me.
I'm sorry?
He's good with it.
Okay.
Who pays for the audit?
Test.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this? No takers? Okay. It looks like it's pretty front, so.
Yep. Let's see if I can get it straight this time. I, Jay Carmona, approve the agreed-upon procedures presented Grant Thornton LLP with regards to sales tax audits of Tesla for reimbursement by Story County to Tesla and allow the comptroller of Story County to sign such document.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
Very good. Motion and a second.
Wait.
Could I make one comment, please?
Yeah.
The motion references Grant Thornton LLP, and I think this is with I. Bailey. Is that the case, isn't it, you?
Yes, it is I. Bailey. I'm sorry.
So the motion should be to approve the procedures presented by E. Bailey rather than Grant Thornton LLP.
Yes.
Keith Bailey?
Ide Bailey.
Say it again.
Ide Bailey.
Ide Bailey?
Yeah. E-I-D-E. Yeah. Ide Bailey.
Okay.
Before you vote on this, I a real quick question just dawned on me. May I approach?
Oh. Well,
why don't you just let's get a motion on there? Okay. No vote.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jay, if you want to restate.
I, Jay Carmona, approve the agreed-upon procedures presented Ide Bailey with regards to sales tax audits of Tesla for reimbursement by Story County to Tesla and allow the comptroller of Story County to sign such document.
There we go. Yeah, because we've got it under the title, we've got Ide Bailey, correct?
Yeah.
Grant Thornton is on the recommended motion because Grant Thornton was the old auditor, is that correct, you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we have a motion. And then, Lance, you had a second?
Yes, I have a second.
Okay, so what's your question?
For the record, Sam, so will these audits be available to the public? They're private. Thank you.
I think everything out of the Department of Taxation is confidential. So
there's all these audits are as I. Bailey in this case grabs tax returns and whatever. I do not know who the tax returns are or anything. There is an amount there. All I know is the amount that we receive from the state of Nevada we will never go over that amount because we're only just reimbursing for the amount that we receive, and we don't know anything about who we're receiving it from. So that's why.
And if I may, Sam, rather than make that a hard and fast no, I don't believe they're available through us, but I would encourage you to check the GOED site. They've got a plethora of Tesla reports under diversifynevada.com.net or whatever it is, but they've got reports that are invaluable to me as I draft up annual reports I have to make. Could be that.
Okay. So I've got a motion and a second. Any other public comments? Hearing none, get a motion to approve. Can I get a vote to approve? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 19, discussion of possible action. Approval of the Story County property tax rate for the 2019-2020 tax year.
Mr. Chairman. The tax rate this comes up because we have to send a letter to the Department of Taxation the third or fourth week in February telling them what our tax rate is going to be. That is so that they can use that tax rate for their preliminary numbers for property tax estimates for the 2019-2020 fiscal year for personal and real property tax. We've had quite a discussion about this in the past, partially because there was some items on the table that some of our taxpayers and some commission members thought that we should either give a rebate or some side of tax relief. And what we had found in our discussions that for that amount of money, number one, there wasn't enough significance there to do that. Plus, the people, the refunds would go to primarily about 85% of it go back to the industrial park. The taxpayers itself in Story County wouldn't see one. My recommendation was to wait until Tesla comes off guaranteed share and take a look at that again, because now we don't have a tax-free zone. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with the other two members that are out there. But at least wait until 2024 and take a good look at this. I will say that our tax rate is no greater than a lot of other people. You can take a look at the Red Book within the Department of Taxation. It gives you the county tax rate, but it doesn't give you the additional tax rates that are sitting there for cities, municipalities, whatever, things of that nature. So right now there's three counties that have a lower tax rate, and that is Eureka County, Humboldt County, and Elko County, and they have a tremendous amount. The reason is because of net proceeds mines. They have a tremendous amount of that. So I would like to get this out and that recommendation, so we can, Department of Taxation, go ahead and make their estimates.
If I may add to Comptroller Gallagher's presentation.
Go right ahead.
Okay. And again, I think you nailed it. You know, could we lower our tax rate? Yes, but our key financial advisors are telling us when we go into a downturn, you can't come back out of it that simple because of there are governors on raising the rates. There are no governors on lowering the rates. So I have been asked by Chairman McBride and also Commissioner Gilman separately, and I've had my discussions with Commissioner Carmona as well. I think what we'd like to do this next year is we want to recommend keeping the rate the same because of what Marty Johnson, Mary Walker, and others are advising. But we really, as we go into the budget session, and especially with the young lady in the far left-hand side of the room looking this way, Sherry Nevin, is we want to really focus on amping up certain services to people that mean the most, that get the most bang for the buck. Specifically in this case, Sherry, Stacy, and others are working real hard on a coordinated effort for our senior citizens. So we really want to look at that program and say, what can we do better for those people? Those people being me also, I guess. And, you know, that could be coordinating efforts between Lockwood and Virginia City. It could be looked at bringing more new and better programs. And also, it can begin to be looked at what do we do in Mark Twain. We know that there continues to be some interest in the Highlands, although they're still a long way away, I think, from, you know, starting the process, I guess, you know, wanting something and actually working the process. But we can look at it for the folks in the Highlands, too, as we do that. So, again, the goal will be to take some of these monies at, again, with the urging of Lance and Marshall, and really apply it where it's going to make the most positive impact. Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Going on a little bit more with this, this current tax rate that we have, we've had it since 2008, so we're moving into our 11th or 12th year of the same tax rate. Some people have complained that their taxes are going up. It's not because the rate has gone up. It's because the value of their property has gone up. So I would suggest that most of their taxes are still less than what they were about 10 years ago because of the recession we went through, how everybody's taxes went down with valuation. And with the rules of taxes going back up under the 10-year average, some people still weren't paying the same taxes they were paying 10 years ago. So the rate's the same. Most of the taxes are at or below where they were 10 years ago. So I think we're pretty fair countywide. When we talk about lowering taxes, that we would all like to lower taxes. I would be a benefactor that as well, being the taxpayer of the county. But I agree with Mr. Gallagher. I'd like to see is down the road we see significant tax increases before we do, you know, take such a step like that.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct in the evaluation of the property itself, but it's also a combination of the increased value of the property and the erosion of the cap rate. And and that's why when a lot of our constituents' property taxes or assessed valuation went down, they were upset because their payments stayed the same. It was, in fact, the erosion of the cap rate that they already had. So,
and Nevada's got a complicated property tax code as well. I mean, I think one of the only states left of the country that has depreciation. You know, on property on real estate. So, and the legislature is never going to be able to fix it because it's too complicated for them. Okay,
I guess we can go ahead and take public comment on this item.
For the record, Sam Tolgold Hill, very encouraged that you're keeping the tax rate where it is, that it hasn't risen in over 10 years is remarkable. And I think it's when people look at their, as you said, when people look at their tax bill, because of the wacky way that Nevada does their taxes, it can be confusing. SRJ, I believe, 14 is going to be a topic at the legislature this year. And that's going to affect the way people's properties are evaluated and juries out on whether that's a good or a bad thing. I'd like Pat to second what you said about the way that the county can maximize the impact on the people who need it most. I've watched Sherry and Stacy at work from afar. The work that they do is spectacular, and as you suggested, the bang for the buck that we get from the effort that they produce is phenomenal. I would like to also include the community chest in that circle, because I think if you look at the direct impact that the senior center and that the community chest have, that is some of the best money that is spent in the county. And if we can figure out a way to get them a little bit more money, it will, you know, they factor that in terms of services provided. So I just wanted to encourage that, and thanks again for not raising the taxes. Appreciate it.
Additional public comment? Hearing none, we can get a motion to go ahead and approve the county tax rate.
I, Jay Carmona, make a motion to approve the Story County property tax rate of 3.4607% for the fiscal year 2019 through 2020.
I'll second your motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 20, discussion of possible action, review of the second quarter 2018 unaudited budget to actual review.
Mr. Chairman, if we may, I would recommend that this is a discussion only, no action, no public comment section, because this is unaudited. I don't think we've ever had a possible action on it since it's a review, understanding the fact that this is pretty much the first financial at least review under the Tyler system. There are still things that are sitting out there, and there's still work that has to be done that I can comment on, but since the fact that this is an unaudited statement, I don't think I would want to have a possible action at the board would have to approve it.
Yeah, I don't believe we've ever had an action on this before.
No, I agree with, if I may, and Keith, again, I'll be looking for your input. I agree with the part about no action. Personally, I don't agree with the part about no discussion. Typically, I mean, this is marked discussion, possible action. You don't need to take any action, but as we've noticed it on the agenda, I think we need to at least hear discussion.
Okay.
Do you agree, Keith?
I do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following is a budget versus actual summary of the first 6 months of this fiscal year. As far as we'll start with the general fund, there was a budget of $16.2 million. We are at a 62.76% rate, which means that normally through the 6 months of the year, we're at 50%. I think we are doing very well on this. Part of it was because of the deficit that we had when we looked at this budget in May. There were a lot of things that we didn't know about. Tesla payments were one of them. The other was was our property tax values, which I was very conservative with because I didn't think personal property tax would increase that much based upon prior years. However, in real property tax, we're at a 73% rate, Personal property at a 62% rate, which tells me a couple of things. One is that I don't know whether or not they paid their bill for the entire year or if they're just parceling out. Normally, a lot of the big companies and a lot of our constituents pay up front, and so I'm not sure if that's part of that. I'll know more about that probably at the third quarter. In addition to that, jail court fines are up about 79%, which means that law enforcement is doing an excellent job, as is our court system. For our expenditures, the commissioners, it shows that they're 104% over budget, but that's not really it. There was some economic development money that was coming in because of the tax increment area. That money went into the general account. We're going to make an adjustment to make that necessary expense out of the commissioner's office, which should make them very good. The clerk treasurer's office was up about 68%, and that's pretty much due to the elections. All of the ballots that had to go, all of the things that they had to do in order to have a very good election. Other than that, the rest of the departments are performing, I think, at a very, very good rate. I think the total expenses are sitting there at 43%, and we're supposed to be at 50. Again, department heads do a tremendous job with a lot of this stuff. I mean, when we have budgeted, for so many years, and we said, if you don't need it, don't buy it, don't spend it. They have been great about that, and that has shown for probably the last 10 years that I've been here. So my hat's off to them again for this. We still have a contingency of $450,392 that we'll be looking at this during our augmentation session to take a look at some of the accounts and some of the funds, quite frankly, that we have within the general. And if we don't need them, then we're not going to use them. Our special revenue funds. Roads is at 65%, basically due to increased SCCRT, which is our sale tax, interest, and they had some equipment sales that kind of increased their revenue. And they're sitting there at 22.8% as far as their expenses are concerned, which is very good.
Pardon me, if I can, with the chairman's indulgence. May I ask who just logged in?
Yes, good morning. This is Carl Jones with AT&T. I'm just going to be here for when you guys address the project that I was representing. Thank you.
Okay, Carl, I appreciate you joining us, and I certainly respect the challenges you had trying to get over Highway 50. So we have just a couple of items to go, and then Kathy will be up, and we'll get running. Thank you.
Equipment acquisition was up 69% they're at 69% because of an increase in centrally assessed and interest, and they're sitting at 24.47%. Capital projects is right now in a negative ending fund balance position. There's a bunch of reasons for that, and there's going to be some work done on this before the third quarter ends. Technically, a lot of it was due to our payments to Ames Construction Company for the sewer project and also the paving of those roads. We had to purchase some equipment, and this all happened between the third quarter or the first quarter and this quarter. It was not budgeted because it wasn't foreseen at that period of time, but we've got options. One is going to be reclassification of a lot of these, and the other probably will be the commission will be asked to augment this budget to get that at least to even keel. Our infrastructure obviously is based upon a plan that we do, So if there's any payments to that plan, that obviously has to go with the plan. Stabilization remains the same, although we are looking to increase the stabilization account along with our emergency mitigation account. The sewer, Virginia Divide Sewer, is doing very well. USDA, because of a loan that we got for the 5 mile reservoir line, water line, that's increased, but we're also going to have payments coming out of that. Our technology fund is doing well. Genetic marker testing, which is our DNA, has done very well. Intigen accident is, again, a state. It is something we pay the state on a continual basis. Park fund remains steady. Our tri-bakeback fund, again, remains steady. Federal grants have been doing an excellent job as far as getting grants and providing those. The VNT or the VC rail project, obviously the expenses there are just principal and interest. So that's pretty much won't change through the rest of the year. The Tourism Commission is doing a bang-up job of keeping within their budget constraints. Piper's Opera House also, it's a brand new account for which a lot of things have happened since we took this over. And the 474 Fire Project, Fire District, they have increased some of their revenue based upon the sales tax and property tax, and their expenses remain fairly low. Mutual aid, that is one of our funds that as we send people on or send employees out on out-of-district assignments where we charge either FEMA or whomever, we incorporate those expenses with that, and so that's and all that money is used primarily for the maintenance of their heavy equipment, which is their tractors and caterpillars and whatever. So that remains fairly healthy. Well, Mr. Chairman, with that, that's my review. If you have any questions, I'll be certainly glad to answer.
Okay. Last, do you have any questions for you? Mr. Aguilance?
Lance, you might be on mute.
You know, Marshall, I think we're on a great track. In my mind, you have done a terrific job in all departments in controlling our expenses. And it appears to me that we're in a pretty positive. We know that he's very conservative as he moves forward with his numbers, and God bless him. That's wonderful. But I'm very encouraged about the position of our county financially at this point. And I hats off to Hugh for doing a great job.
Great. Thanks, Lance. Jay, do you have any questions for, you on this?
I just basically want to agree with you. I applaud the department heads for keeping their budgets under 50%. It's fantastic.
Yep. This is great. Thanks for the update, too. I always appreciate this. So since we did put it on here as a discussion item, we'll open up and we'll see if there's any public comment regarding this. Hearing none? Okay. And we'll go ahead and move along now to item number 21. It's discussion of possible action to approve repair of Canyon Way by CMEX at no cost to county and to sign a waiver, release, and hold harmless agreement waiving permits and fees. Mr. Northman.
Thank you, Commissioners. As you can see by the item description, CMEX is looking to effect some repairs to Canyon Way, a portion of Canyon Way. I believe it's from the cattle guard up to their gate. They want to do so at their cost. County certainly could allocate funds for such repairs, but it's certainly not going to happen on the time frame that they need it to happen. Condition of the road is causing them to experience some, you know, truck maintenance issues and that kind of thing. So they would like to proceed with repairs on that portion of Canyon Way, and this document would allow them to do so. We would be waiving some permits and fees for working in the county right-of-way, effectively.
Well, by waiving permits and fees. I think that's to the county's advantage. It's cheaper to waive fees than for the county to go out there and do the work themselves, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what type of repairs it's gonna entail?
It appears to be limited to pothole filling, that kind of thing. I'm going to be out in the middle of that, observing that work as it goes.
Is that only dirt on the portion that they're at, or is there asphalt as well?
No, it's asphalt, though.
It is?
Some portion of it. Again, I have to go. This sort of landed on my desk a couple of days ago.
Okay.
So.
I'm sure they want to get on this immediately, don't they? So the
sooner's better.
Sooner's
yeah.
better, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good. Do you have any questions?
Jack? No, there is some asphalt. I mean, yeah. See the potholes up there.
Do you have any questions, Lance, for Mike?
No questions, Marshall. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lance. Any public comment? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and get a motion to approve the waiving of permits and fees for and everything else for CMEX.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the repair of Canyon Way by CMEX and waive the requirements that CMEX obtain permits or licenses, pay fees, and authorize the Public Works Director to sign the waiver, release, and hold harmless agreement.
All right. I have a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Thank you, Lance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Mike.
Carl, this next item will be you, and just so you can visually know, our senior planner, Kathy Canfield, is up to make the presentation.
Okay. Our next item, we have a special use permit, 2018-056, is a request by the applicant to allow for construction of a 90-foot high wireless commercial communication facility, including a tower, equipment, shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be configured as a water tower to disguise the proposed antenna equipment. The tower and associated equipment will be located on approximately 35 by 35 square feet leased area on Story County property. The subject property is located at 160 East Toll Road. Is that right? E Toll Road?
Yes.
Okay. Virginia City, Story County, Nevada. And having assessor's parcel number 002-023-11. Ms. Canfield.
Yes, Kathy Canfield for the record. This is an application for a commercial wireless communication tower. It requires a special use permit because the height is over 45 feet in a public zoned area. It's located in the Divide area on Story County property. It's adjacent to the flagpole tower, south of the jail site and east of the public works yard. AT&T will be leasing approximately 35-foot by 35-foot area on the public property. That actual property is a little over 22 acres that's there, and the jail is also on that same piece of property. The tower will be designed to look like a water tower, and all the equipment, antenna equipment, will be disguised inside of the tower. We're approving asking for approval for a 90-foot in height. They're actually proposing 76-foot, but we wanted to give them some wiggle room with that without having to come back through the public hearing process. And the actual height will be very similar to what the height of the flagpole is that's out there right now. The Historic Commission reviewed and approved this in October, and we've received no response from adjacent property owners, and staff and the Planning Commission are recommending approval.
Thank you, Kathy.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There's one change to this in that it's not going to be, we're not working on leasing an area of land to the telecommunication company at this point, because the limit on a lease is 5 years. Telecommunication company is looking for basically 5 years with 4 renewals for a total of 25 years. And so what we're working on is a license of the area rather than a lease.
Okay. That makes sense.
Keith, can we go ahead and hear and act on the SUP with that notation and approve the license agreement at a subsequent date?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I would probably recommend then we want to modify condition I, because that has the requirement that they demonstrate that the lease agreement has been finalized, so we want to probably change that wording to the licensing agreement. It's on page 12 of 15.
It's at one pass where I'm at. So basically we're going to change lease to licensing?
I would suggest that.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Did you find that on 12, too?
Yep, covered.
Okay. Carl Jones is on the phone also if there's any questions.
Okay.
He represents AT&T.
Great. Thanks for calling in, Mr. Jones.
You're more than welcome.
And I'll add before we get into the technicalities, this is Pat Whitten. I'm the county manager. Haven't met you. I've had the opportunity to be briefed through Kathy and Austin. I want to thank AT&T for bringing cell coverage to this area. Without being critical, but just being blunt, you're the one that we've lacked for many, many years, and we're very grateful as you were looking at the Highlands Tower that you also had an open mind and consideration of bringing that. With our million tourists plus or minus in any given year, that's probably the most constant complaint I feel, which is where is AT&T, and now we can point up to your tower shortly and say they're right there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat, and it's a pleasure always working in Story County, and this is a priority site for AT&T, for those that you don't know, because it's part of the FirstNet program, which is a federal program that AT&T is carrying now, which is a first responders public network, whereupon one particular antenna in each sector on this site, the public will be able to use when it's not being used from the first responders. So this is a big deal, this particular site, and so we're glad to be providing additional coverage to the FirstNet also.
Thank you, sir.
Great, thanks. Yeah, this is a nice addition to cellular coverage for this area. I know it's been a long time in the coming. I know that AT&T had lost a lot of their subscribers to their competitors simply because of drop calls and inability to have service in this area. So it makes it more competitive, and it makes it better for the residents, the visitors. It makes it better for public safety. So this is a real advantage for all of us, I think.
And it's a really cool design. I believe some of our discussions have gone on, again, subject to historic approval and working with AT&T, that I believe we might be able to justify the paint scheme on this tower like you see on some towers. So this could be VC, this could be Muckers, this could be any number of things as we go forward with the final design.
Yeah, it's terrific. Okay. Before I call for a vote, I'll ask if there's any public comment on this item.
Commissioners, for the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Very encouraged that this project is going through. The discussion has mentioned that there is a lease involved. Do we know how much money is changing hands here?
Mr. Commissioners, Austin Osborne, for the record, $2,900. It is the same amount that is under the existing flagpole for Verizon.
Okay.
That's a month.
Okay. Thank you.
And then with AT&T on the line, I would encourage them to consider bringing some of the internet services up here into the 21st century. Really appreciate that it costs money to do that. Final question. I'm guessing the G Posse doesn't have anything to do with this lease.
I don't know that we've thought that far yet through. We'll look at it in terms of budgeting. You know, we typically right now share, I think it's 50% of our income from the flagpole, because they do have lease rights, but we haven't committed to that one way or another yet.
So upon approval of this item today, will that be determined later at a public setting, or is that something?
Yeah, probably most likely through the budget process, Sam. I mean, AT&T, right now the tower operator, Mobile T, I think, for the flagpole pays us. And then through budgeting, we have gone through the process and asked the commissioners to divert, I think it's actually around 50%, it's no more than 50. We may do that with this one. We've got a couple of G Posse members here. I'm an inactive Posse member, so I really don't know.
Okay, so as long as that information is public and has an opportunity for public comment later, that's great. And then finally, would just like to chime in and say kudos for the idea of a brandable water tower as opposed to one of those ridiculous-looking fake trees. Excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Hearing none. If there's no objections from my fellow commissioners, I'll have Kathy read the findings of fact for the approval.
This approval is for special use permit 2018-056, a request by the applicant to allow for construction of a 90-foot-high wireless commercial communication facility, including a tower, equipment, shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be configured as a water tower to disguise the proposed antenna equipment. The tower and associated equipment will be located on an approximate 35-foot by 35-foot leased, should be licensed, area on Story County property. The subject property is located at 160 East Toll Road, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 002-023-11. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the public facilities designated area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2.D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. The special use permit complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, the zoning ordinance, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to the official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The special use permit will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan. This title and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit with the recommended conditions of approval complies with the requirements of Chapter 17.03.150 Special Use Permit, 17.12 General Provisions, and 17.15 Public Zone. The Comstock Historic District has reviewed and approved the proposed project at their October 8, 2018 meeting.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. And
then may I suggest also in the motion for approval to add the modification to Condition I.
Okay. Got another one?
Yep. Just looking for the next one.
Ready for a motion?
Yep. accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report, and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve special use permit 2018-056 to allow for equipment shelter, to allow for construction of a 90-foot-high wireless commercial communication facility, including a tower, equipment shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be configured as a water tower to disguise the proposed antenna equipment. The tower and associated equipment will be located on an approximate 35 by 35 licensed area on Story County property. The subject property is located at 160 East Toll Road, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 002-023-11. Also note modification to condition I. Does that work?
Sound good to you, Mr. Loomis?
That's good, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I may, Lance Gilman here, Commissioner Gilman. Just a quick comment. I'll second that motion, and I really am celebrating this event right now in our county. In my opinion, great communication is the heart of the health and the safety and the welfare of everybody that lives in our county. And now to have this capability, I think, is a monumental moment in our time for our residents. So I'm delighted to second this motion.
Great. Thank you, Lance. So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
You're more than welcome. Thank you all for your time and consideration of the project, and hope to look forward to working with you in the not-too-distant future on another project.
Yeah. We should have this thing up and running by the end of next week, right?
So.
Thank you, Carl.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving along. Item number 23, discussion only. We'll take no action. This is an update on the county manager selection process. Mr. Whitten?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm working with Linda Ritter. We felt it important. This is a dynamic process, and we want to carry this item on future agendas until such time as a selection has been made and appointed by the board, just so we can update you on status. There will be no anticipated action on these, but we do want to allow for a knowledge exchange, and to the extent we can't get any questions, we may not be able to answer right now because there's a lot of stuff being researched, but this is the update from Linda Ritter that she sent me last Friday at 3 o'clock, I believe, 3:08. So we're trying to get you as current of information as we can. So this is Linda's statement, and then I'll add a few things. The position announcement for Story County Manager was published on January 8, 2019 on governmentjobs.com and was also posted to the Story County website. As of today, posting on governmentjobs.com was viewed 168 times.
You want to hold off about 20 seconds?
The posting on the Story County website was visited 188 times. 155 of those visits were from unique sources. We have received a total of 13 letters of interest / applications. I am currently screening those applications and plan to, with the assistance of Pat Whitten, select those candidates with the most desirable qualifications. The top candidates will be entered by two panels, a citizen panel made up of Story County citizens and a professional panel made up of staff members that work closely with the county manager. Pat has selected the professional panel, which consists of 10 participants. I'll go over that in a minute. The board has provided names for the citizens panel, and Pat is currently confirming participation with those volunteers. I am compiling a list of possible questions, interview questions, and will ask each panel member to select questions from that proposed list on their own. The slate of questions should give each panel the opportunity to assess whether the applicant's skills and experience meet the job's requirements and further help assess whether an applicant would likely be a good fit with the corporate culture of Story County. We are targeting the last 2 weeks of February for the interviews. I will provide regular updates to the board as we move through the process. And then my add-on to Linda's comments are, as she mentioned, we have filled the, let me back up. In addition to the effort she summarized, I went first to NACO and their director, Dagny Stapleton, and I asked if our position announcement that's on the website we previously showed you and had you approve, I asked if she would send that out to her 16 county members. There's no point sending that to ourselves. There was some understandable hesitation in that, you know, we work closely with a lot of counties, and occasionally in certain jurisdictions, there's a feeling that people are headhunting or poaching. And we, it's more important that we get along with people. So I respected Dabney's position on that. She did offer to put it in the NACO newsletter, and then I turned around with her knowledge and mailed it to all 16 counties. It's interesting to go through the NACO directory. Obviously, some counties don't have county managers. Some counties don't have HR directors. So my default was always, if there was a county manager, I mailed it to them. If there was an HR director or administrator, I also mailed it to them. And then in certain cases where there were none, I mailed it to the county clerk. I did get one very nice comment back from, I think, the Humboldt County manager. Thank you. Good luck. God bless in retirement. And I've not had anybody scream and yell at me for headhunting, and I did specifically point out in my cover email that we're not. We're just endeavoring to get the very best candidates. So it went out to 16 counties and multiple people. I also contacted a former assistant director of NACO and now the executive director of the Nevada League of Cities, Wes Henderson. Wes willingly and gratefully agreed to send it to the city managers or equivalents in all of his membership cities. So I think we're casting a wide net. Then on the professional panel, these are the internal people. And I got to tell you, this is probably the toughest thing in the world, especially as I look at people like Sherry or Kathy or others. You know, that I could have made this panel probably be 7,500 people, but I looked at it and thought, okay, who really do I talk to probably every day, sometimes multiple times in a day? And so that was kind of the structure. The panel of internal people will be Vanessa Stevens, and all of these have agreed and have made themselves available and in some cases even changed schedules. Vanessa Stevens, myself, Gary Hames, Hugh Gallagher, Ann Langer, Jeff Nevin, Jason Wurzbicki, Jesse Fain, Sheriff Antonoro, and Denny Dobson. So at this stage, I believe our target date, we're going to try to view all qualified screened candidates in one day so they stay fresh in our mind. This would be the internal panel. And that keeps them fresh in our mind. As far as the citizen panel, that is still shaping up, but is almost done and confirmed. As you recall, each commissioner had the allocation of two. I had three. I am thrilled with what the commissioners have confirmed, and I have one more left, to be honest with you, and I just have yet to reach out to them, and I will hopefully do that today. Commissioner Cameron McBride picked Corby Hansen and Mike Nevin. Vice Chairman Gilman picked Laura Kukuli and Kim Martin. And Commissioner Carmona has picked Bob Macario and Tom Terramina. My two picks from the business community so far Well, that'll be it on the business community. That I'm going to go for one citizen, I hope. At the recommendation of Vice Chairman Gilman, he picked Randy Pitts, and at the recommendation of Chairman McBride, he picked Scott Jolkover. So really, we just have one more. We don't have a date for that panel interview yet because we've got to get them all filled. Then we go through a process of trying to coordinate everybody's schedules, which is a nightmare. So that is the update.
Okay. Hey, Pat?
Yes, sir.
Moving along.
Yeah, it was my intent, Mr. Chairman, that we would allow public comment on this. This is not no comment.
Okay. Okay. I thought this was our comment. Okay. I'll open up for public comment. Hearing none, then we'll move along. Item number 24, discussion, possible action, approval of business license second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they're asking for approval of items A through X as they appear on the agenda and in your packet.
This is great. 24 to be approved. Mm-hmm. All over Nevada, all over the country, Japan, all over the world. Here we go. So any public comment regarding the approval of the second readings of the business licenses? Hearing none, a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the listed business licenses from A, is it A through
X?
X.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve all business license second readings brought to us today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item 25, public comment.
Good afternoon now, Commissioners. For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Mr. Carmona for his successful race and seating here in the Commission. I haven't had a chance to officially congratulate you on the record. Great job, Jay. Looking forward to your guidance, County. Super excited to hear about the sharing house stairs coming back. When I was a kid working here, working for Lynn Leon, washing dishes, I walked up and down those stairs a bunch of times. might want to think about the ice buildup in the winter, because I remember slipping and falling on my fanny a couple of times. From a liability standpoint, that might be an issue, but the idea that those are coming back is just great. I'm very excited about that. Again, I'm excited about the county's moving on the TRI GID. I think that's a very prudent move. And looks like the folks from Public Works are gone, but I would like to echo Mr. Witten's sentiment about the hard work that those fellas do early in the morning, late at night. You know, they can slip and slide off the road just as easily as the rest of us, and they're doing a great job. I think they're an asset to the community. I'd like to share with you, Pat, you know that I do a lot of public records requests. You've got a couple on your desk for me. One of the ones that I have issued earlier this month was to the Department of Taxation. Earlier today, we talked about the difficulty in distinguishing where revenues come from within the county. As we all know, the county has a new tax zip code. And my public records request into the Department of Taxation is to ask them whether or not they're capable of dividing the tax revenues, because they can't divulge, as we earlier discussed, individual company returns, so that we can adequately and accurately determine where the action's coming from. This will help both us from a planning standpoint, both on the determining and anticipating revenues from TRI, but it will also help us gauge the health and success of the C Street merchants, because most of the action
from an 89440 zip code standpoint is going to be on C Street and small businesses here in Virginia City. Of course, the tax Department of Taxation being what they are, I haven't heard back, and I actually did hear back a little bit, but it wasn't very encouraging. So I'm going to continue to press that. It may be that they'll have to rewrite some of their codes, but I'll be reporting on that stuff as things go on. And then before I make my regular request, I'd like to congratulate Commissioner Gilman on the Tuesday episode of Sam Shad's Business Newsmakers. Mr. Gilman announced that he would become a cannabis farmer out at TRI. It was very interesting. I was quite surprised to hear that he would be cultivating cannabis. It struck me as an interesting direction for his business acumen to be applied. But I have been a proponent of using hemp in industrial applications for both insulation, concrete, of course, Betsy Ross's flag, and the Declaration of Independence were both constructed of hemp-based fiber. So very encouraged about that. And then finally, would like to implore once again, as I have at the end of every meeting, that we bring public comment to the beginning of the meetings so that here in Story County, we can hear me stop saying the constituents come last. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Additional public comment? Okay, we'll see you on the 19th.